Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
I don't know how to tell you this.
What?
Dad had an accident last night.
He's in the hospital?
No, Sid. Sid. He didn't make it.
What? What does that mean?
I'm sorry, Greg.
Welcome again, everyone, again to your favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. Good Lord, I've been trying to think of a funny opener for this two-parter of an episode, and, well, they're about as heavy as Craig hitting that pavement after an epic backhand from his dad.
Wow.
So, yeah. I'm Arlo. I'll be your host tonight. You can follow me on Instagram at ArloeScott. And with me, as always, are my very interesting pals. Who do we have with us here tonight? Let's head over to the old T-Dot.
It's me. It's me. It's S-L-I-I-I-I-I-P. Huh? I don't know. Nice. Hi, everybody. I'm Alan. Slip with Five Eyes on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. Follow us on Twitter. Narbos Podcast is the handle. And on Instagram, Narbos and Broomheads is the handle there. And you can also email us, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. And I'm actually opening up our Gmail account right now. Of course, it's my personal account that appears first. Now I'm opening up our podcast account. This is riveting podcast. I know, for all of you listening. Here we go. We have a note from Mia. Hope I said that correctly. And she says, "Hey gang, I'm switching back and forth between Degrassi High and TNG episodes. Finally made it to school's out. I have to say, you're right. Everybody does seem like an a-hole now that I'm watching in my 40s. I'm currently listening to Fight for Your Right, which was we recorded last week, so it came out in the last week. Your discussion of cafeteria specials made me laugh. Back when I was a supply teacher, the morning announcements at the high school would list popcorn chicken as the lunch special every single day. I finally asked the students why that was. How is it special anymore if it's always the special? Turns out it's a loophole in the Healthy School Initiative. So long as the food is special, it's okay to be junk food."
Wow.
Interesting.
And
that is sneaky stuff on the part of Sheila's everywhere.
Uh-huh. Also, to answer another question, her family did shred carrots into Jell-O.
Oh.
So you've all got right. That as well. And so, yeah, there you go. Thanks, Mia.
Thank you so much for writing in, Mia. That's awesome.
I'm going to pass it over to Barry, who is still not dead.
Nope, still alive. No, another week.
After he belted me and took off in his car, he survived. Yeah, unlike someone else. Spoiler alert.
Yep, no, not like him. So I am Barry. You can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn, and I am going to go make myself a nice Jell-O and carrot surprise because it just sounds so good.
I just can't wait to try.
That's right. And with that, while I'm making that up, I'll pass it over to my good Newfoundland friend in Torbay.
Why, hello. As long as the colors match for food, you're good. Green Jell-O, green peas. Corn on the cob, bananas. It's all the things. The latest craze. What other things are there? I don't know. Eggplant and plums. Yum, yum. That's right. That's I'm Ted.
Plus, you can put them together and they look like a dink and balls.
Yeah, you got to eat them plums. Because they're bluish hue.
That's what I love about this podcast, the maturity.
Well, especially with Courtney being away this week, like now you're just piling up like three guys. It's just testosterone flowing. Let's talk about things.
Great. Can't wait. So glad to be hosting tonight.
Yep. That's me, is Ted. And hi, I'm Asewa 3, and I'm looking forward to this episode. Arlo, take it away.
Well, this episode is the first part of Tears Are Not Enough, which is the two-parter season finale of season two. So it is named after the song Tears Are Not Enough by Northern Lights, and I'm going to pass it to Alan to tell us a little bit more about this Canadian classic.
Before I talk about Tears Are Not Enough, Courtney promised that she would not come on the podcast if the Leafs lost.
Right. Yeah, noticeably absent tonight.
She is absent for this week, though I don't think it actually has anything to do with the Leafs, but she just happens to not be here. So anyways, Tears Are Not Enough, as you said, recorded by Canadian supergroup Northern Lights. So if you're in the United States, you are well aware of USA for Africa. If you're in the UK, you are aware of Band-Aid. And I mean, people around the world are aware of them. So, of course, this was a thing in the 80s where you got a whole bunch of famous recording artists and celebrities together to record a song. And they eliminated famine, if you didn't know. It was a thing in the 80s, and now it doesn't exist, right? So, pretty amazing.
Like severe hunger. Yeah. I know that that's a crazy couplet of words, but that's what famine was. They got rid of it.
How did they cure it?
I mean, Bob Geldof did win, I think, the Nobel Peace Prize, honestly. So, you know.
Feed me with your lyrics.
You can knock it, but...
Yeah. Bruce Allen was a manager for a lot of Canadian acts and brought them together for this piece, which ended up being on the We Are the World album that came out in the 1980s. Vocalists of note, Gordon Lightfoot, who... How does he start the song off, Ted?
As every day goes by.
He goes for it. They gave it to Gordo. That's good.
Burton Cummings, Anne Murray, Joni Mitchell, Dan Hill, Neil Young, Brian Adams, Corey Hart, Bruce Coburn, Geddy Lee, Mike Reno. Then there was a bunch of duets as well. And then there was a big chorus that included,
so many people.
Yeah, such wonderful singers, I guess, as John Candy.
Known singer, John Candy.
Catherine O'Hara was in the chorus, but also we had like, Eugene Levy was in it. And like Tom Cochran, Kim Mitchell. He's like, and we might as well go for a soda.
Lisa Del Bello, who does the theme for Degrassi The Next Generation, at least the first two seasons.
Wow. Mm. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Hart was there.
Clothes car was
Corey
there.
Hart. Clothes car. Clutch's car.
Clutch's car. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, they drove him in the clutch. And the Zit Remedy was there. The Littlest Hobo.
Mighty the Drifters.
Yeah. It was amazing, everybody. What a time to be alive in Canada. So there you go.
Yeah.
Tears Are Not Enough. Cured famine and hunger. And back to you, Arlo.
Well, I think my favorite thing, too, that I read about Tears Are Not Enough when I was sort of researching a little bit for the podcast, that at one point during the recording process, the producer wanted Neil Young to re-record his part because he sang the word innocence a little bit flat. So he was like, his line is somehow our innocence is lost or something like
Actually, it goes somehow our innocence was lost. That's
And then so he was like supposed to re-record it because the word innocence, the producer said it was flat, and Neil Young just said, "That's my sound, man."
That's my sound. innocence. And in the video, it's like the Neil Young in the video. I watched this video the other day, actually, and it looks like someone making fun of, like someone on Saturday Night Live dressed up as Neil Young. With the glasses and the headband out and everything. It looks like a caricature of himself.
I mean, they should have brought in Harlequin to sing the Innocence line, right? From their amazing song, Innocence. Mm-hmm. Innocence, and I don't know the other lyrics. Innocence. Yeah, amazing.
was Gowan in the chorus?
I don't think so.
No, Gowan was noticeably absent. Also noticeably absent, anyone from Glass Tiger.
Oh.
Platinum Blonde was there.
I wonder if it was
Step It Up, Alan Freu.
I wonder if it was a situation like when they did We Are the World with Prince, where they wanted him to do it, and he was like, no. Just went and did other shit and then caught a lot of flack for it. Anyways.
All right. So Tears Are Not Enough. The Canadian air date for this one was February 16th, 2003. And U.S. air date was August 29th, 2003. The story this time is by James Hurst, and a story and teleplay by A.A. Ron Martin, and it was directed by Phil Earnshaw, who we have seen a few times before, and we'll see again. They should be some good episodes. They won these two episodes won a ton of awards, or at least I'm assuming it's both of them. I think they, in the award season, they were kind of counted as one episode, is the impression that I got. Jake Epstein, who plays Craig, snagged a Gemini for this episode.
Did he?
He did.
It has to be for part two, and there's a particular scene, which, wait till our next episode.
I think it's just, I couldn't find anywhere whether it was part one or part two, so I think it's just like, this is considered one episode. But I'm not really sure.
Can I ask one more question about Tears Are Not Enough?
Yes.
If Tears Are Not Enough was recorded in 1999 or 1998, would Hugh Dillon be part of the ensemble?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
This is getting meta.
If I was a teacher and this was a class, I would say, yes, Alan, that's exactly right. Kind of mentality. That's the questions we want.
Okay. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's do it.
Great. All right, so in the pre-credit opener, we see that after school, Craig, Ashley, and Sean are talking about studying for finals. And, you know, as with original Degrassi, it's obviously really cold out. You can see everyone's breath, which is odd for them just about to go into summer vacation. But as we know, it's just the way the filming schedule went with Degrassi because they had to film around the kids' regular school schedules and things like that. So it's an unseasonably cold June, it would appear.
It could happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely happened here.
That's true. That is true. Although it's hot as balls out today in Saskatchewan. I don't know where it is, how it is for you guys.
Balls are coming this way this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Craig mentions that science is his worst subject. And lo and behold, out of the woodwork, his dad suddenly shows up and offers to help him study, presumably since he's a doctor, so he is good at sciencey things. Craig is surprised to see his dad, and Ashley politely introduces herself, but Sean says nothing and just spits.
Like a real cowboy.
He just his crotch when he was done.
Yeah.
Craig's dad offers him a ride, but Craig declines. And then his dad suggests that Craig have dinner with him and asks him to think about it.
And Ashley shows her inability to read the room or any situation or like total lack of instinct. Like,
he seems nice.
Yeah. Like, what?
She's got the God style, but not the the personality sometimes. I don't know.
Ashley thinks that he seemed nice, but Sean thinks he shouldn't have dinner with him. And we basically see that Craig seems unsure what he should do.
Isn't Sean a grade below the two of them? Like, why is he studying with them? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, he was Craig's first friend at the school, so maybe you just...
Yeah.
You know, and they are the same age, but yes, he needs to be studying so that he doesn't freak out when he doesn't finish his test again.
That's right.
So cue the inspirational theme music by Del Bello.
Second to the last time we have to hear it, this version, anyways.
Wow.
So we open on Joey's house, and things seem a little bit chaotic. The kitchen is a mess with dirty dishes in the sink, and Joey seems to be rushing around trying to leave for work and deal with Angela at the same time. Joey and Craig are going over their busy schedule for the day, who will pick up Angela, what they're doing for supper, etc. Angela is fussing over her breakfast and ends up spilling her orange juice all over Craig's homework, which kind of looks like she purposely shoves it. But I think it's supposed to be that she spilled it.
She's not the same actor as her older sister. Just no, not the same caliber, I should say. And Craig is like, Craig, you remind me of Manny. We went out on a date.
But I don't like you.
Yeah.
It's not you. I mean, it's not. I just don't like you.
Yeah.
Craig yells at her after the orange juice spills, and she starts to cry. And Craig and Joey start to argue about the house being a mess and Craig helping out more. Craig complains that he has to study for exams, and Joey tells him that he needs to come home early and clean up. And can I just say that Joey is kind of a dick in this episode?
Yeah.
I feel like he's like channeling like Wheels' grandma. Like every time he has an interaction with Craig, he's like chewing him out for something.
But
anyway,
imagine if it was Wheels' grandma, though, right? You're like, all you do is leave a mess. Oh, you can't even make your sister happy. That's the worst.
Yeah. And Craig says he's going to go study at Sean's, which
again, I don't believe grade. You.
Isn't that crazy? I'm not dead yet.
That's the boy who thinks his dog is his brother.
So in science class, Miss Hatzilakos is explaining the difference between an element and a noble gas. Spinner is busy checking out that booty as she bends down to help another student. And Craig is stressed. He snaps at Spinner to shut up. And then after class lets out, Ashley approaches him and asks what's up. Craig admits it's not so much the exams, but it's his dad showing up that has him on edge. And Ashley, again, bad judgment, says people can change.
And at this point, she knows that his dad beats him up because Craig made reference to the belt being used when they were speaking in the earlier scene. So, like, yeah, maybe he won't beat the shit out of you anymore. Maybe he's nice. We'll see. I mean, people can change, let's be honest. But still, Ashley's just, oddly optimistic.
Yeah, like 1 minute there, you're... your mom's husband, and then the next minute they're gay.
Yes, exactly.
And she reconciled with her father at this point?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's never been mentioned again.
Okay.
Yeah.
It does come up in the future. There will be reconciliation.
Yes. I do know that.
Yeah, spoiler alert for those of you who care.
In Miss Kwan's class, they're taking a test or an exam of some kind. JT is looking to cheat off of Liberty's paper, but she's having none of it. And then, of course, Liberty finishes her test super quickly. Then outside of the school, JT approaches Liberty, and he asks her for help studying for exams. Liberty agrees, but only if he agrees to be her date to the Hawaiian Surf Paradise Dance.
I believe she says to him, if you don't want a D, give me the D.
I believe that is a quote from this episode.
Yes.
Correct.
Yep.
He pretended to be gay just to not have to be pursued by her. I don't know why she wants to go out with him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's necessarily romantic at this point for her. Maybe she just wants a date.
Yeah. And wasn't the dance called like the big year-end dance just like last episode? Now it's a big Hawaiian luau theme.
Heather Sinclair wanted it to be the Hawaiian Surf Paradise, I guess. Right. And what Heather Sinclair wants, Heather Sinclair gets.
I mean, Heather Sinclair did bring in a notch up from end of year dance. Let's give her some credit.
Shout out to Heather.
Yeah.
Some props.
So JT agrees to this deal with Liberty. After school, Craig goes to the hospital where his dad works. And Alan, are you familiar with this, where this particular hospital is?
I didn't pay attention. What did it say? Was there a...
I don't know. It had a big H on the outside. It looked like a museum, truthfully. It didn't look like a hospital, but that's okay.
Oh, yes, the hospital museum.
I'm going to say Scarborough General.
The hospital museum in Toronto. I know that one.
Well, I mean, as we know, most of the interiors are done on sound stages and whatnot. I was just curious if you recognize the exterior shot or not, because I couldn't find it listed, but okay.
I've gone to the gallery of the episode, so I will scroll through it and see. And there is no picture. Okay. There is no picture of the hospital. That's unfortunate. Ooh. Sorry, thumbs down.
I'm going to say Scarborough General, just because it's the only one I know.
Yeah, Scarborough General. Great. Yeah, perfect.
That's it. So he walks in and he sees his dad in the hallway with a patient, being a caring doctor with the patient.
Does his dad see him and smile and wave? Hello? Is this thing on?
He's getting his mileage out of that one. Yeah. I love it.
I don't have any opportunities left.
That's true.
This seems to sort of touch Craig a little bit that his dad is being so nice with this patient.
He's not beating the shit out of that patient.
He must be a different person now.
Ashley was right.
She was right all along. His dad notices Craig standing there. He's happy that Craig has agreed to go to dinner, and he leaves for a minute to grab a few things so that they can go. While Craig is waiting, a nurse, who is very important, she is an actress named Diana Reese, and among other roles throughout many, many years on Canadian television, she has a very important role on Ready or Not.
Oh,
really?
Anyone? She plays Busy's mom on Ready or Not.
Really?
Yes.
Damn.
So wow. She is a prominent character on Ready or Not, and was for the run of the show. So there you go. As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh my God, crossover.
The Degrassi Ready or Not crossover we've all been waiting for.
Exactly, exactly. Anyway, so the nurse comes up and she asks him how he's liking boarding school. So Craig now realizes that his dad has lied to all of his colleagues about what happened. And Craig is surprised, but just goes along with a lie. And the nurse goes on to say that this is the first time in a while she's seen his dad smile, and this seems to hearten Craig.
I guess...
Smile and wait.
I guess...
Now I'm into it.
I guess Craig maybe once upon a time showed up at this hospital all the time, because I was trying to think, like, why would you need to lie about the whereabouts of your son? Right? Like... Unless he's always at the hospital and then isn't there anymore, or unless he has.
I mean, I'm sure he's been there a few times. Like, I'm sure when he was a kid, and you know, like he'd go with his mom, and like they might have seen him sort of grow up, you know.
Yeah, or unless he has his coworkers over to his place, and Craig's not there, and he's like, "Oh, just ignore those golf club holes in the my son's
in the
door." Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know what the expectation is too. Like I wouldn't expect him to go into the office and tell all of his work colleagues that his son moved out because he beats him.
Yes.
Like I guess you could say we were having some problems and we decided it would be better if we spent some time away from each other or something like that. Like I guess you could be a little bit more honest about it, but like I can't really imagine a lot of scenarios where someone would go into their workplace and tell everybody that they beat their kid and then now they're getting therapy for it.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, how's your son? He's good. That'd be the end of it.
Yep. So then later at dinner, Craig brings up to his dad that he lied to everyone, and his dad kind of brushes it off. But he does go on to say that he's going to anger management and that he's changed, and talking about how things are at Joey's. Craig admits that things at Joey's aren't quite paradise. It's a bit chaotic as he studies for exams, and his dad offers that he can come study at his place. So when Craig gets back to Joey's, we learn that Angela is sick And Joey immediately starts to chew Craig out for being late and not coming home early to clean up. And Craig lies and says he was studying with Sean. He gets angry and tells Joey that studying for exams is important. Joey is frustrated that Craig is not helping more around the house.
Joey's like, I never studied. And look how I turned out.
Look at me.
Got my own business.
He does have his own business. He did pretty well for somebody who sucked ass.
That'd be a valid point if Joey said that.
Yeah. Fuck studying, Craig. But Joey never cleaned the house either.
That's right. He was busy looking after Angela.
I get the feeling that this is like a very busy time for them. Like, I kind of get the impression that like it's not necessarily always like this. It's like a particularly busy time for Joey right now or something, and he just doesn't have time to. Or maybe Craig's just like a useless lump that never lifts a finger to help ever.
It's almost as if it fit the plot of the show.
I mean, Joey is a single dad with like a 5-year-old, so I feel like it would always be busy. Like,
yes, sure, definitely.
I say this with the understanding of someone who's never had children. So,
well, as someone, if my wife's ever away for a night and I have to look after my son, yes, this is what it would be like, guaranteed.
But I mean, every other time we've been at Joey's place, like, it hasn't looked like a disaster. It's just suddenly a disaster. So I don't know. The next day, Craig goes over to his dad's house as suggested to study for science. And things are going great until Craig puts a glass on the table without a coaster. Who uses a coaster at the kitchen table? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, and then his dad's a fucking psycho.
Well, it's just like that passive aggressive, like,
uh-huh. Yeah, it's lightweight passive aggressive. He doesn't just say, oh, could you use a coaster, please? Like, it has to be passive aggressive. And Craig suddenly has a flashback of his dad beating him with a belt and gets freaked out.
It's like your counseling may have stopped you from, like, beating your child, but can you go to counseling for being an asshole?
Seriously. But we find that Craig's fears this time are unfounded. His dad goes on to say it's no big deal. He just doesn't want rings on the table.
Big enough deal.
Respects wood.
I feel like it was a glass table.
Oh, okay. Wrong. Sorry. No, you're probably right. That was a Curb Your Enthusiasm reference this time.
But like rings on a glass table isn't a thing. Like, you just wipe the table. Anyway. So we get to exam day. JT is fretting about the deal he made with Liberty to Toby. He wants to go to the dance with Paige instead, which we know Paige is already going with Spinner from last episode. But Toby tells him to suck it up. He made a deal with Liberty. Liberty comes up with flashcards and they get to work, but Liberty is more concerned about her outfit for the dance. Super thrilling and important scene here.
Yeah, and she wants to get JT's advice on what she's going to wear. Like, he's going to be like, I don't know, how about a ball cap backwards and t-shirt? Like,
did you catch the colors, chartreuse or fuchsia? And do you know what chartreuse is? Chartreuse is like a green color. It's based on, which I have in my liquor cabinet right now. It's this like herbal liqueur that's made by these French monks, and it started in, I did look it up, it's in 1764, like in this monastery that you can still visit today. You can they make this stuff called chartreuse, and it's quite good. Anyways, if you're into that stuff, I think
chartreuse would look really nice on Liberty.
You mean like the liquor?
Yeah. Exactly. What it's I
like
meant.
Like the fifth shot would look really good on her, yeah.
Liberty, you're drunk. Go home. It's like, it was a chartreuse. I should have picked the fuchsia.
That's right.
We see Craig and Ashley fist bump before going into science class. In geography, the geography teacher, who is only credited as geography teacher, explains that their exam will be online. And that she was lucky to get a pencil when she was in school.
Yeah, wow.
Uh-huh. It's weird.
Yeah.
JT opens up his exam, and Liberty smiles confidently at him. Everyone starts doing their exams, and we get a little exam montage.
Everybody, well, Craig is happy with his exam, JT's happy with his exam. Everything is great, right?
Yeah.
After the exams, JT's feeling confident and seemingly going to renege on his and Liberty's agreement. He approaches Paige with the intention of asking her to the dance. But before he can ask her, Liberty interrupts them to ask him about the exam and to give him a big hug.
Very aggressive.
Like, yes.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I finished before you. It's great. And she grabs him and hugs him. Like, okay. It's a big celebration.
So JT's plans to ask Paige to the dance are foiled at that time, and he instead asks Paige to help Liberty with her outfit. And Paige, to her credit, agrees to do that.
Yeah. Worked so well when Terry did it.
After school, Craig and Ashley are elated that the exam is over. Craig asks Ashley to the dance, and Ashley accepts. Craig's dad pulls up at that moment. He misnames Ashley as Allison, and after she leaves, calls her an interesting girl.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way. And I guess this is supposed to be maybe the indication that he doesn't actually give as much of a shit as it first seemed or something. Or that he's more of an asshole than he's coming off.
I guess the seeds are being planted. Like the first one was the ring, the coaster, and then it was this one here. So you kind of see that he is better a little bit, but not really.
So he asked Craig to have dinner again with him to celebrate the end of the exams. But Craig says that he needs to babysit, and they end up agreeing to a dinner after he's done babysitting.
Yeah, and he says the bistro. Is that the place where Caitlin's dad used to go?
I think so.
That's what he said, the bistro.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
The only restaurant in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think the Caitlin's dad's restaurant was Le Bistro.
That's
right. And this one said the bistro, but it could very well be the same restaurant.
Yeah, we have two restaurants in Toronto. There's one in the French Quarter. It's called Le Bistro. And then the English one.
Yeah, Francophones eat there.
Yeah, exactly. And then the English one. It's all good.
They serve frites avec sauce.
Which is?
And then
Englishophone.
Yeah, fries and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
<Makes sense. laughs> That's right.
Yeah.
And at the jerk chicken place where Hazel bought the chicken. the restaurants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, like, Craig's dad is pursuing Craig harder than Liberty is pursuing JT. And, like, Craig is, like, just reluctantly agreeing. He's like, all right. And his dad's like, cool. And you can tell, like, everybody can tell that Craig's like, no.
Doesn't even offer to give him a ride home.
No,
either.
No.
Anyway.
Speeds off in his car.
It's raining as well. He's just like, great, see you at dinner.
Vroom. Yeah.
So later, Craig is busy playing video games while babysitting. It appears the video game is Crazy Taxi, which I am not familiar with.
There's a picture of it in the gallery that didn't have the hospital. There's a picture of just the screen with Crazy Taxi. So that is one of the images that they was like vital to catch for this show.
Angela is insisting that he read her a book instead. The book is out on the ice in the middle of the bay, if anyone's familiar with that one.
Angela has chicken pox.
Yes, we learned that she has the chicken pox. Has everyone here had chicken pox?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you have it when you were a kid?
I did.
Yeah, I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I had it when I was 14 and it fucking sucked.
Nerd.
We just never got it. And like we were like, when we were little kids, like we were around other kids that had chicken pox sometimes and we just never got it. So we like assumed that we were like immune or something.
I'm immune,
like that.
Just like
and then
the COVID.
When I was 14, I fucking got it. And then my sister, who's a couple of years older than me, so she was 16 at the time, she fucking got it for me and it was awful.
Ugh. Such disease.
So there.
Those illness.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get it when you're a baby.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
If you have a child,
you
have a party where all the kids get chicken pox.
I mean, kind of.
Again. Again, not a parent, so don't take my advice on anything.
Yeah, no, my son has not had it yet. Has not had it yet, so.
Uh-oh.
And he's 7, so.
Maybe he really is immune. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks when you get it when you're older, man. I was so sick. So Joey calls and says that he will be an hour later than expected because he's trying to make a sale. Craig lies and says that he has plans with friends, but we actually assume that he's worried about how his dad will react if he's late.
I got the guy here, Terry, at the dealership. He really wants to buy this car. He says it's make great parts. I got to sell it. Yeah. I'm going to drop my reserve and everything.
That's right. I'm going to drop the reserve, yeah.
Craig doesn't really have a choice here, so he agrees to stay later with Angela. And then we cut to Craig's dad at the restaurant. He sort of rudely snaps at the waitress.
Taking it out on the waitress, yeah. She's like, can I bring you anything, sir? And he's like, for the 10th time, I'm waiting for someone. Fuck.
Oh, yeah, no, this was gross.
And I'm just like, ugh. Ugh.
So hope do we dies. Assume that Craig has called and dad is still just impatient and mad? Or do we assume that Craig didn't bother calling his cell phone, which he obviously has because he's a doctor?
The second one.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So we see Craig sprinting to the restaurant. He finally gets there. He seems kind of panicked. He apologizes for being late, but his dad just calmly tells him to sit. He gives Craig a couple of tickets to London, suggesting that they go around Europe for the summer, spending time together to, quote, acclimatize.
Yeah, Craig, when he first gets the tickets, thinks that he's going by himself. And then the words that he just doesn't want to hear. We're going to have a great time. Oh. Oh, you. Okay. Yeah.
But his dad sort of then segues into saying that it's time for Craig to move back home.
So, based on what happened, well, I don't know exactly what the, and I guess, Ted, maybe you can enlighten us here, because we're not really kind of apprised of what the legal situation is with where Craig is living. Like, is it just kind of this arrangement where it's just like, or an understanding that he's going to stay with Joey and not be with his dad, or has there been, you know, legalities behind this? We don't really know.
I'm just surprised that he hasn't, like, seen his dad. Like, I'm surprised that Children's Aid hasn't put together some kind of counseling session.
Like, what would you...
Or something for them together or something to work things together. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, Ted, what do you think?
I'd say it's age... I'd say it's age 16. It's age... What? But I mean, too, like, I don't deal with this a lot, but, like, age of, like, emancipation, like, you can...
But
you
he's
can
in
actually
grade,
go...
He's in grade 9, so he's... 14.
Yeah, like they would definitely, like you would definitely have in a situation like this, if they knew about some type of abuse, you would definitely be getting social workers coming to the school, talking to the student, going, okay, what are we doing here? You know, it's, but I mean, if it doesn't show up on anybody's radar, you can live wherever, if say Hugh Dillon doesn't complain about it and Craig doesn't say anything and Joey doesn't say anything, I mean, I guess you can live wherever you want, you know,
like
if nobody official says anything,
I don't have to worry about my kid when I go on tour with my band. Someone's taking care of him.
You might have heard of us, the Smiling Waivers. Okay, that's the fourth. Uh-huh. That's, yeah, okay, we'll get it in there.
Yeah,
we'll get it in there another time. It's a song by Headstones. That's the fifth time.
Yeah.
So his dad wants him to move back home. Craig tells him he likes it at Joey's. He doesn't want to move back home. His dad tries to convince him, saying that Joey's isn't stable. But Craig disagrees. So Craig sort of realizes that the tickets are basically a manipulation, throws them back on the table, and Craig's dad storms out of the restaurant.
So he's taking lessons from his anger management by storming out of the restaurant and leaving his kid there. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think he actually went to anger management or he just said that?
I don't know, but if he did...
That's a good question.
If he did, it's not a very good advertisement for wherever he went.
That's right.
So Craig picks up the tickets, follows him. When Craig catches up, his dad starts to go off about Joey. He starts insulting Ashley. Craig gets angry and pushes his dad, and in retaliation, his dad backhands him right in the face, fucking from here to Thursday, which knocks Craig to the ground.
Yeah, he told Craig that he could be with some goth girl and take over the car lot, which doesn't sound too bad to me.
But yeah, it's not a bad guy.
Yeah, but yeah, Craig gives him a good push and gets like one shot, man.
Smacked, yeah.
The back of his hand.
I'm like, fucking, have you been working out while you're at anger management? Jesus.
His dad starts to apologize and says that it, or starts to say it won't happen again, but Greg points out that this is what his dad always says, and his dad immediately gets angry again, says it's because Craig always screws up. So basically throwing the whole, like, well, if you didn't make me so mad, I wouldn't have to hit you.
Yeah, but Craig puts it back on him pretty good here.
Yeah. So Craig turns it around and says that it's his dad is the one who's screwing up, and his dad gets into his car and peels away, leaving Craig crying and yelling in the street.
Does a sweet U-turn from his parking spot to go the other direction, yeah. Which is a standard park or a standard driving move in Toronto.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we're supposed to believe it's erratic, though.
Well, I mean, he peels out, which is the erratic part, but the fact that he's U-turning, like, just... in the middle of a busy street happens all the time here.
And probably right next to a sign that says, do not U-turn. Yeah.
It's,
I'm going.
Yeah. I've lived in enough Canadian cities that there are like nuances to how people behave on the roads. So that's the big one for Toronto. My favorite one is Edmonton. In Edmonton, no matter where you are in the street, no crosswalk, no nothing. If you're standing there looking like you want to cross, traffic will stop for you. Yeah,
we have that in downtown St. John's as well.
People just stop,
like, anywhere you want to cross. Now downtown St. John's is fairly small, like it's only two lanes or whatever, you know, a two-way, but you can just go look at the car, they'll stop anytime. Yeah. Anywhere. It's
yeah,
pretty
it's
good.
Like that in Regina too. Yeah. I didn't find that in Winnipeg when I lived in Winnipeg.
Oh,
Winnipeg,
no,
they'll just drive you over.
Yeah, in Winnipeg, if you don't make eye contact with the person, you're gonna die. Yep.
When Craig gets home, Joey notices that something is wrong. Craig has a big cut on his face. Craig initially just says that he got in a fight, but he quickly comes clean that it was his dad. Joey is angry and wants to call the police, but Craig says he just wants to go to Children's Aid the next day, and he wants to make sure he never has to see his dad again because he hates him.
Yeah, he hates him. And then Joey's like, all right, well, go to your room. We'll talk in the morning. Like, end of conversation.
Yeah, it's a solid plan.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, Joey's sticking up for his kid, but, like, this whole scene takes 30 seconds from when Joey sees that his kid's got, like, his face all fucked up to when he sends him to bed. It's like, you gonna look and see if he's okay physically? Or are you gonna talk to him? Are you gonna do anything? No. Joey's just like,
go to bed.
I need that time where both kids are in bed and I can just fucking relax.
Well, I also noticed that Joey gets angry at him for seeing his dad. Well, why didn't you tell me? And Craig said, well, because I knew you wouldn't let me. And, like, so now Joey's on the other, like, side of the coin from where he was before when, like, Craig's dad wouldn't let him see Joey and Angela. And it's just like, you can't just stop people from seeing their family members.
Yeah.
Joey.
Damn it, Joey.
Damn it, Joey. So the next morning, there's a knock on the door, and it is the police.
Not the band. That'd be awesome, though. Sting.
I was going to say, Joey, I'm not angry anymore, which would be a Concrete Blonde reference. Anyways, we already moved past, because you mentioned the police, like the band, so I just figured I'd have to throw that in.
Roxanne. All right, so they talk to Joey and then leave. And Craig asks if his dad sent the police to come get him. So Joey sits him down and he tells him that his dad had an accident last night. Craig assumes that his dad is now in the hospital, but Joey then reveals that his dad has died. And I actually like the directorial choice of this scene. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but like, Angela was like counting her chicken pox while Joey was speaking to the police or whatever. And it kind of gave it like this like ominous kind of countdown almost. She was counting up, but it was like, it felt sort of like a countdown of, to the bad news of the moment that Craig's life changes forever. and I quite liked that sort of dramatic choice that they did.
Mm. Your father got killed in a car crash.
Oh, that's a bad sting. It's not a sting at all.
Dude, some fucking reggae beat. Your father. Your father got killed in a car crash.
That's a little bit better.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So I have a question here. Do you think that the original writing of this had his dad committing suicide? Because without... like, and I've watched this plenty of times, but I don't remember everything. Before I watched this, I knew his dad died, but I was... in my head, I was like, well, he killed himself, like, obviously. But he didn't, right? He's in a car crash. But then I thought
It might have been an intentional car crash.
Yes, but maybe.
He could have driven into a semi or something.
I almost get the sense that maybe they wanted to do a suicide, and then they were like, no, because we don't want this to be about suicide. We want it to be about...
like, no, Craig's like, fucked up enough. Like,
yeah.
Give the kid a break. He's already going to be an orphan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I not having seen any of this, I thought it was going to be a suicide as well.
Yeah.
I had an inkling.
Does anyone know if Degrassi
about it because
ever,
he's so angry.
Does Degrassi ever tackle a parent committing suicide? Do we know?
I'm trying to remember if they do later on. But I can't remember. I mean, I guess...
because that would be a hell of a storyline, man.
I mean, Shane may have attempted suicide, and he was a parent when he fell off that bridge. Does that count?
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that they have, but I haven't watched the entire
freaking series.
Yeah, like, there are 2,000 episodes left,
seasons,
so
yeah.
They probably get to it somewhere. I wonder, you know, they could have had a scene where, like, you know, Hugh Dillon is kind of speeding in his car, and then they like cut over to another scene, and you see Wheels being like, "Ah, my first time driving in 15 years. Here we go."
Oh no!
Yeah,
and a literal crossover.
Yeah,
they cross over in each other's lanes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no!
And it ends badly.
I was gonna say they should have had a scene where Joey was talking to Craig and said, "Well, I got a good friend whose parents died in a car crash, and he turned out fine."
Yep.
So, yep. Ted, I can't remember if we spoiled this one for you previously. Like, were you surprised when they like dropped the bomb that his dad was dead?
This was one of the things that was not spoiled. I thought, honestly, genuinely. Like this week, watching this episode, I thought the cops were showing up because something with Craig with the abuse, like they were going to arrest his father or whatever. So I was just hanging on when Joey said he got in a car crash. And I was like, okay.
Were you there with Craig? Like, oh, the hospital.
And then Joey's like, Craig, your father, he's dead. Yeah.
<Ba-da-ba-ba-ba>.
I mean, we laughed.
I was surprised.
I mean,
I was, yes.
Well, I'm glad we didn't spoil it for you then.
No, I did not know this.
Something, I mean, I wrote it in my notes for the next episode, but I may as well say it here. Like, we're going to get very focused now on how Craig deals with the death of his father, but we also have to remember Craig's mother died too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't really talk about at all. Like, there's one point in the next episode where Joey mentions, like, well, when your mom died, it bothered me. But there's no talk at all about how this child is, like, you know, literally been orphaned at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When my band broke up.
I am curious that he doesn't seem to have any extended family either, right? Which, you know, no aunts, no uncles, no grandparents.
Well, if it's like Will's grandparents, he's lucky there.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Why, Alan, you little? Go to your room. Oh, no. Yeah. Will's a grandma.
So what everybody think of this episode?
It was heavy. Like I said, at the end, I thought that the cops were showing up because he was going to try and say that Joey was doing something to his son or trying to get his son back. I thought my original viewing of this, that's what I thought it was. I didn't think he died in the car crash. But overall, I think it was a pretty heavy episode. I mean, you know.
To Jake Epstein's credit, you know, his performance in this was really nuanced. You know, like obviously the parts where he's getting, you know, slapped in the face and he's yelling at the car and stuff like that. Like that stuff's like all, you know, big stuff. That's, you know, he did a great job in that. But sort of like the nuanced parts where you can see that he wants to believe that his dad's changed, but still has that hesitation. Like I just thought he did a really good job in this one.
The Degrassi Wiki doesn't provide a lot in terms of commentary. A couple of people saying that they love the episode, and then one person saying, Craig was in a tough situation here. So, there's your insight.
Thanks, green internet user.
Yeah. Yeah. There's my two cents. I don't think that this was the funnest day for Craig.
I won the internet. Yeah.
This is kind of the setup episode for, I think, the real, you know, Craig isn't dealing with it yet. Like, he's dealing with, obviously, his dad showing up and trying to get back into his life. So we see that. But the next episode, we'll get really kind of in depth about how he reacts to this. And also, I can't wait for the next episode when we find out. So, you know, there are so many scenes around Liberty and JT's day to the dance.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they really follow up on that one, too.
Great. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, join us next time when we will be deep diving into Tears Are Not Enough Part 2, which will be the Season 2 finale, which is amazing. We made it through another season. Well, not quite yet, but we'll get there.
We sure will. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This would be this is the seventh season, I guess, of Degrassi that we've made it through.
Good Lord.
Fucking COVID, man, I'm telling you.
All right. Well, listeners, we will see you next time.
Peace.
Peace, yeah. Bye.
That too. See ya.
Well, I just said I was going to get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut. Just to get to call my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh.